Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and... Oh, it's just me. Just me, as our friend Robbie is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today. Get ready to cheer on his beloved Steelers. Wherever you are, thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. I appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird if Brupolo was in Central Grove.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. You heard it. I missed. I mean, the trash can is literally, I could almost touch it, and I missed. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed and ashamed. I'll pick it up later. It's going to be we got home basketball this weekend. We got Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. Not sure if you want to miss that, but maybe Sunday, watching the NFL playoffs, you're going to fire up the grill, make beef the star of the show. And if you don't want to cook, hey, man, we got so many great steakhouses in the state. It's impossible to miss one wherever you are. You're just a short drive away from a fantastic meal. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Whatever you're looking for Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. They're original by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to be able to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. That's the level of service you get every single time at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We will talk about Mississippi State's disastrous trip to Lexington, but hey, I can't get too worked up about that one. I'll be totally honest with you. Mississippi State, the great stat provided to me by Daniel Black from Mississippi State Media Relations, that Mississippi State has won four times in Rupp Arena, and twice they didn't play Kentucky. It was the Sweet 16 Elite Eight combo in 1996 when they beat UConn and Cincinnati. So that means the other two wins are 1995. My freshman year at Mississippi State, watched that game because I was a big loser. I watched that game on Valentine's Day in 1995 from my dorm room with a few friends. That was the only love I got that night, as I put it. I guess we're starting with basketball here. I don't know how that happened. But also in 2009. We'll talk Mississippi State basketball a little later in the show. But let's start in the portal. Here's what I may be having to draw my own conclusions here, right? I don't know for sure what the situation is. But this is something we've talked about here on the show. So let's dive into this. That we've talked about that from 1,000 feet up, from the people who follow Mississippi State casually and not the everyday fan like you, like me, like the people who listen to this podcast, they see Jeff Lebby and they see a coach who took his program from 2 wins to 5 wins, had his team on the verge of 2 or 3 more wins, has an exciting, young, dynamic quarterback that, quite honestly, had he played him the whole year, might have gotten him those 2 wins. Came into the offseason with 2 major issues. Needed to fix his offensive line and needed to get better on defense, get a better defensive coordinator there. That problem has been solved. Zach Arnett, well, even if they don't add another player via the portal, they will just be better coached, better scheme, better prepared. They will be better on defense next year with Zach Arnett as the defensive coordinator, right? Got to fix the offensive line, and that's kind of where we come to now in the portal, where we see that Mississippi State has really not brought in the kind of linemen you think could be contributors next season. They got some guys that are interesting in terms of, the year after that. When you think about 2027 and you talk about, L.J. Prudhomme, Mario Nash, the Florida State kid. What's his name? I can't find him here. He's not listed on the thing. Am I missing him? Get after it on three. What's going on here? Robbie leaves for a day and we got issues. But regardless of that, they haven't committed a guy that you just go, okay, you plug him in for 2026. He's good to go. And some of the guys that you feel like they've targeted have ended up at other places. So here's my theory, and I've seen some of you guys floating it on the message board, and I'm going to tell you that I'm in agreement with you. I think that Lebby knows that that barring a massive collapse this year, that he's safe for this season, that there is no hot seat for him. And so he's going ahead and stocking getting the stockpile going for Camario next year. And this year he'll do what he can, but obviously he's not going to turn away players, but I think the recruiting pitch is falling on deaf ears. I think so. Here's the disconnect, right? That people are they're going to immediately come to the conclusion. Oh well, all this talk about money, State just doesn't have it, and all that. Here's my problem with that, because you know what, you could be right. But that would involve people like Charlie Winfield lying directly to my face. Directly to my face. That would involve people like Zach Selman lying directly to a lot of our big boosters' faces. And I know that because I've talked to some of them. And they all say the same thing. Zach Selman has told them that we have X amount of dollars lined up, close to $30 million lined up for this roster. And so I don't buy into that idea. So what is the old Sherlock Holmes thing? If you eliminate all the other possibilities, whatever left's the answer, right? Doesn't matter how improbable it is, it's the answer. The answer is that Jeff Lebby and staff aren't doing the best job of recruiting these guys, period. Because if you got the money to spend and you can't get them signed, they just really don't want to play for you. And that's the only way to look at it. The good news is this. And again, let's go back to the macro, right? Let's go back to, they went from 2 to 5. They're going to be better defensively. They're going to be better at the quarterback position. They have a more dynamic weapon there. Still plenty of talent at the receiver position. The running back position should be fine. I don't know about the offensive line. And I as I said on the postgame show after the Mayo Bowl, even if you went out and got me 5 five-star guys, I don't have a whole ton of faith in Phil Loadholt's ability to coach and develop them after what I've seen this year. But if there's any kind of improvement on the offensive line, offensively you're going to be fine. Defensively you're going to be better. Maybe you do take another step forward. Is it as big a step forward as you'd like to take in year 3 of an era where you can just flip your roster year after year? I would say no to that. That's a very reasonable concern, a very reasonable reason to be disillusioned that it's taking too long. That you look at other programs, you look at Indiana. 2 years ago, Mississippi State and Indiana were right there with each other. Now Indiana's going to play for a national title, about to go 16-0. Mississippi State is still trying to find its way. You look at what Ole Miss did under Kiffin. And, they struggled for 4 years at the end of Freeze, into Matt Luke. Kiffin comes in, and then immediately they're better. Now, I would tell you in that situation, if you look at the roster, Kiffin probably walked into a little bit better situation than Lebby did. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially at the quarterback position. Corral, from a talent perspective, is an NFL quarterback. The reason he's not in the pros are some other issues. But you feel like, all these other places, they turn it around quickly, and then you got Mississippi State. Like, you're still stuck in 1995 where a coach would come in, and you had to give him 4 years to know what you had. He had to let his freshmen become seniors. In this scenario, most of the time your freshmen don't become seniors with you. They go into the portal. You look at Lebby's first recruiting class. There's not a lot of guys left from that. So I understand the frustration. It felt like all season, for the last couple months, it's been like, look, when they get in the portal, They're going to be well scouted, well prepared, and you know they'll be good to go. And I really did think maybe like in the first 48 hours of the portal, they would announce two or three big linemen, both on offensive and defensive sides of the ball, and you know give themselves get the ball rolling. And that has not occurred at all. By the way, listeners of this show know that there are a lot of phrases that I hear, and I'm just like, I don't like that phrase. Natty is one. I don't like hearing that. So from the same perspective, I don't like people say they're going to the ship. Don't like that. You know, I just whatever. It's a pet peeve. It's a trigger word for me, right? I got a new one. War daddy. I'm really getting tired of seeing that. Just gotta get our war daddy, and we'll be good to go. Like, guys, that does not. Hey, not that there's anything wrong with that. You do what you want to do, but. So, I don't like that. I'm getting tired of people saying, I got to get our war daddy in here. Like, what the hell is that? So maybe I'm just, you know, a little old, but I have been, State has done some good things in the portal. Let's be very clear about that, right? They've completely reshaped the cornerback room. That room is now a big strength for Mississippi State. They went out and got a receiver that they feel can fill Brennan Thompson's role. And then they've added some other, you know, good pieces there. The kid from Oklahoma, I look at him. I know he doesn't have a lot of production. I see him the same way I saw Brennan Thompson. Lebby coached that guy at Oklahoma. He knows what he's got. He knows he's got elite speed. He'll go from there. So he and Marquise Johnson, I feel, are really good pieces. And I'm intrigued by this Gus Cordova. Now, I understand the whole, you know, some of the off-the-field stuff, the concerns there with him. But he had mega offers coming out of high school and went to USC. It's not like you're picking him up from UTEP or something. No offense to UTEP. I think he could be a player. That if you told me to pick a guy kind of off the radar, he's definitely the one. So they've done some good things here in this portal, but they haven't addressed that number one issue yet for sure. And that is going to continue to be a problem until they address it. Now, there's a lot of smoke that in the next 24, 48 hours, you could see some more guys come in, including a couple of guys who you feel could be contributors next year. DJ Chester from LSU, the tackle. I'm not entirely sure on how to pronounce the last name on that tackle from UAB. Sneh. I don't know for sure. I'll learn it when he commits. That's a good rule to have for us here on this show. We'll learn your name when you commit. I'm not interested in if you go to, you know, Memphis or whatever. I could care less what your name is at that point. And then a couple of, you know, more, you know, of the developmental pieces that we've been talking about. A couple of Mississippi kids who went out of state, Isaiah Autry Dent and Tyler Miller. Their names are coming up on both message boards as possible commitments. I like what they're doing there. I like that idea of getting some young guys to develop, because I really and truly do believe that in this day and age, you know, you can go to the portal for running backs and quarterbacks and receivers and defensive backs, but man, you really need to develop your linemen. So if you can get some young guys in here and keep them a couple of years, that's how you're going to be really good down the road. The problem is that you and I feel that Lebby has to be good next year. And when we say good, we're not talking about 6-6 or 7-5. We'd like to see an eight wins, you know, season, maybe a 9-win season. Maybe that's not the message coming from the Bryan building, though. Maybe the message is, you know, we understand what you're doing. We understand what you're trying to build. We don't know, you know, the problem is it's such a tough sell in this day and age of college football. It's just tough to sell people on that. But again, you know, I feel like I keep saying the same things over and over again sometimes when it comes to NIL and the portal and the state's money situation. And there's no doubt, there's no question that when you just look at the results, your first thought is, they might not have a whole ton of money because you're not bringing in top guys. Now, in basketball, I know that some of the guys haven't worked out this year, but they got good guys. Epps, Ballard, Achor, those are good quality pickups out of the portal. McGee as well. Baseball, no questions asked, right? But I understand the frustration because it feels like, you know, you're told, hey, especially as a fan right now, fans are told every day they got to contribute, you got to put money in, and Mississippi State fans have stepped up and done that, and yet the results still aren't there. That's incredibly frustrating, and I feel your pain on that one. I will say one other thing too, and that's. with 2 weeks to go in the high school signing period, Mississippi State had one of the worst classes in the SEC, if not the worst. And they were able to add, what, three or four or five quality additions there towards the end and make that class very respectable. Still got a few weeks left in this portal. We're in the dead period is about to start. So, you know, you're going to have to wait to get some more guys on campus. That's fine. But maybe it finishes strong. And, you know, still got a couple teams playing. You're seeing tonight, on Sunday night, a bunch of Oregon guys are going to the portal. Ole Miss has seen some guys going to the portal. If you can get a couple of their offensive linemen from either of those two schools, you'd be doing pretty good. I'm willing to let it play out. You know, you guys know me. Like, I try not to overreact. Sometimes I do. You know, there's no getting around it. It's the nature of who I am. But in this situation, I will allow it to play out before I completely lose it. But I am 100% in agreement with anybody who says that thus far the efforts have been disappointing when you consider how adamant Lebby was about getting that fixed. He talked about it post-game of the Egg Bowl, post-game of the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Got to get better in the offensive line. It was his first area of concern in the spring when we talked to him there. He's been talking about the offensive line now for going on a year. Fix it. FIO. Figure it out. You can add another letter in there if you want. State's got to go get some guys that can play next year on the offensive line and defensive line. And until they do that, you know, what's your prediction for Mississippi State? They will struggle to go to a bowl game unless you fix that problem. Simple as that. I'll go ahead and get ahead of some people and just tell you right now, like, looking at that schedule, if they don't fix the offensive and defensive lines, they will struggle to win five. Playing nine conference games next year. See, honestly, you can't sit here right now and say going to Minnesota is a penciled in for sure win. Got to get better there. But they got time to do that. So I'm going to let it play out. Just mark this down that I reserve the right to come back and say, all right, they didn't get it done. And that's not acceptable. And the countdown begins. As we sit here today on January the 11th, as I'm recording, I'm still in 12 more games mode. Got to turn that around if you're Jeff Lebby. If you want to see, you got to turn it around. You don't have any options in that matter. So, not the best start to the portal, but still time to get it right. Let's see what happens, and we'll take it from there. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food, and the older brother, the home of the Fancy Sandwich. Two fantastic places to eat right here in Starkville. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. And if you are going to be in the Cotton District area for lunch or dinner, I highly, 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 I can't say it enough, suggest you drop in and see my friends at Two Brothers and the older brother. And of course, coming up, you know, baseball season, great to, you know, grab lunch. If you're not a person with a spot out in the lounge, eat a lunch at Two Brothers and then walk on over to the to Duke Noble. That's a great day. I'm about to sneeze, I think. Let me see if I can get rid of it. All right, we may have lost it. So we'll reevaluate that in just a minute, same way we're doing with the portal. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Get it, brother.
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need service on anything they've sold you, well, guess what? Same people, same phone number, same great service. Guys, anybody can sell you that copier. Anybody can sell you a printer. But who's going to be there for you when it goes down? And it's a printer, man. You've been dealing with these machines your whole life if you're a business person. There's always a problem. You want somebody there who can fix it and fix it quick. You need Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go when you're looking for Mississippi State gear here in Starkville. Nobody with a bigger or better selection than Maroon & Co. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, all the logos that you want, the state script, the interlocking, and of course, as we get closer to baseball season, the M over S. Get it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. You can use that in-store or online at maroonandco.com to save 15% off regular price. Before you go to your next Mississippi State sporting event, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. I saw a Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden commercial today while I was watching the NFL playoffs. I got very excited. I was like, hey, it's Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have what you want for less. And, of course, what do you really want if you are a person like my good friend Robbie Falk, who wants to keep his yard looking tip-top? What you want is John Deere Green. Well, I've got some great news for you. You can get it at Scruggs right now in the new year. Great deals available at Scruggs. 0% financing available. In some cases, up to 70 months. That's on John Deere commercial mowers, John Deere compact tractors, John Deere Gators right now, 0.9% financing up to 36 months on the Gators. They've got it all for you at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. Offer valid through February 2nd at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know. Whatever it is you're trying to do with your land, the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber are here to help you make smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions. And right now, if you're in the market to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you with that. Land is always a great investment, and if you own land, you got to do everything you can to keep that investment as good as it can be. That's where Good Hope Land and Timber can come in. Whatever questions you have, their people are ready to help. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Mississippi State was up 11 at Rupp Arena last night, early in the first half. They had the ball, a chance to go up 13, and they had back-to-back turnovers, and that cut it to 9. And in that moment, future Brian, wherever he was, I channeled him for a second. I said, that's big. That's a problem. And it was. And from that moment, Mississippi State basically fell apart. You know, a chance to go up 13, they fall apart, and they lose the game by a final score. I don't even remember the final score. 92-68? I'm going to look it up. I think I'm right. That was also, I think, the score of the women's game. The women did not play well last night either, or Sunday night. 92-68. Hey, I got it right. I cut it off. I won't lie to you. About 5 minutes ago, I said, enough. I've had enough of this. All right, let's get some of that out of the way. At Rupp, State never wins. That's Kentucky, despite the struggles, they're still a super talented roster. They have great players. And Mississippi State didn't play its best game. Got a decent game out of a chore. He has started to find some things. He's figuring some things out. He looks all right. But nobody complimented Hubbard in the backcourt. You know, Epps and McGee were not great in that one. And when they don't play their best, they're not providing that cover for Hubbard, you know, where he misses a shot, but they can make one. It's just going to be a difficult game. And for me, you know, looking at the stats, some of these stats you look at and you think, wow, State probably should have won. They shot 48% for the game. They were 78% from the line. They were out-rebounded pretty badly. They'd only turned it over, 15 turnovers, but it's not great, but it's not the worst number in the world. The things that stand out to me are three-point shooting. And this is two games in a row now. The three-point shooting has been really, really bad for Mississippi State. State was 3 of 20. Hubbard had 2 of those. I mentioned Epps. He had 13 points, but on 4 of 12 shooting was 1 of 7 from the three-point line. Jabari McGee, 6 points. I mean, it's just not enough. Quincy Ballard played 21 minutes. He gets 6 points and 5 rebounds out of him. I mean, it's just not enough. Like I said, a chore, 13 and 11. Take that all day long, but he does have 4 turnovers, so... Just not State's night. And the bad news is you're about to play Alabama. And Alabama, as we all know, Chris Jans has never beaten them. And it's an interesting, how do I put it? Like, it's like a roller coaster with them in that the games in Starkville tend to be pretty close, and the games in Tuscaloosa tend to be pretty lopsided. So when you look at last year, we all remember Keyshawn Murphy missing that layup there at the end of the game. State loses by 4 in Starkville. In Jans's tenure here at Mississippi State, he lost to in Starkville by 11, by 8, and by 4. In Tuscaloosa, Now, he did have a close one his first year. They lost by three. But then the other two games, they lost by, I can hardly do the math, 23. And on the neutral side, that was in the SEC tournament. They lost by 33. Is that right? 32, I'm sorry. A couple years, 2 years ago. And then last year, they lost by, 30. I got to do math. I didn't do a lot of math on this. Lost by 38 last year. 38? God. So what does that mean? Does it mean State's going to be close in this one? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. They play like they played Saturday night. No, the game will not be close. But they play like they played against Oklahoma and Texas. It can be. And Alabama lost to Texas Saturday. Not that that's a good thing. And somebody, I forget who it was. Forgive me, I can't credit you because I don't remember who it was, but I saw it on Twitter. But apparently, like, 8 of the last 9 years, State's played Kentucky. Kentucky's coming off of a loss. It's incredible how they always get State at a moment where they really need to win. You can't ever catch Kentucky, like, winning three or four in a row, and you're like, all right, maybe they can drop one here. It's always like, oh, Kentucky's got to have this one against Mississippi State. Alabama coming off a loss makes them even more dangerous. So this one's going to be really tough. The game State has to win is this weekend against Ole Miss, and that's not just because it's Ole Miss. Ole Miss did get a win on Saturday night. They beat Missouri at home in a game. I was very surprised. I had it on early, and Missouri was up double digits, and then I turned it away. I was watching the NFL, and I come back, and the game, and Ole Miss had the lead at the half, and I was just like, what the hell happened? Apparently, they shot the ball pretty well, and Missouri did not in that one. So, Ole Miss, a little bit of momentum. I'm not sure who the Rebels have in the midweek. I'm not going to look it up right this second either, to be honest with you. But for Mississippi State, this, you know, going 1-1 this week is imperative to keep you on some sort of track to be hopeful that you can find your way into the postseason. That's how we're gonna view things. Finding your way to the postseason. That's where Mississippi State needs to be. A little later, but I don't have any real faith in Mississippi State's ability to beat Alabama just because Jans has never been able to do it. Nate Oates has a certificate of ownership on Chris Jans at this time, and until I see something different, I'm not gonna change my opinion on that one. So 1-1 this week will be plenty good for Mississippi State, and if they do that, they should be fine. If they don't, if they're 0-2 this week, well, then you're kind of back where we were. Going into conference play, where it was just like, all right, well, maybe there's nothing to be excited about here. But 1-1, and you're perfectly fine. You look around the conference: South Carolina, LSU, Missouri, Auburn is very beatable. Georgia is very beatable. There's beatable teams throughout this sprinkled throughout the, and nobody is just completely unstoppable. Vanderbilt's the best team right now. They're playing the best. Arkansas lost this weekend. Tennessee got blown out by Florida this weekend. Florida is unranked. They're not playing their best basketball. Alabama, as I mentioned, they lost at home to Texas. So I feel like this is going to be a year where, you know, everybody beats up on everybody. It's going to be one of those where there's not a dominant team, I don't think. Vanderbilt's looking like they're going to be, but I can't help but think that at some point they're going to lose three or four in a row just because they're good, but they're not so talented that they're going to just run through this conference. Now, look, we could look up in a few weeks and they haven't lost yet, and I'll have to eat some of those words, but that's just how I feel right now. That's a good team. Maybe they're the favorite right now, but I just don't see them just running away with it the way like Auburn was doing last year at this time. But we will see. So Mississippi State, 8 o'clock tip. Saw a tweet today that said men after they turn 35 after 9 p.m. and it was the gladiator scene where he just collapses, and I was just like, I don't have to hit so close to home. I'm still a night owl. I stay up later than most people do. I'm usually like 11 o'clock or so, but that's just me. All right, so tomorrow I'm gonna try for a guest host tomorrow. Don't know who that's gonna be, but you know, I don't want to go it alone all week until Robbie gets back. Robbie will be back for us on, I believe, the Thursday podcast at the earliest. So we'll see. We'll see what we can do there. So tomorrow we'll do a little bit more preview of Mississippi State, Alabama. We'll talk a little bit more about the portal. Plenty to do there. The rumblings, I got to get a guest host for that. I need to get somebody fun for that one. I'll see who's around town, though. We'll see what we can do for you guys. Talk to you then. Until tomorrow, for Robbie Falk, who is not here. Hopefully, oh, by the way, if you're a Texans fan and you're listening, I'm very sorry. I got to pull for the Steelers here. You know, my buddy. I hope he and Big Daddy have a great time in the Steel City. I'm going to text him tomorrow at kickoff and be like, How cold is it? I want to know how cold are you? Is this the coldest you've ever been? It's got to be rough. Till then, guys, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.